Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hidden Moon by C.J. Cook. Narrated by Connor Brown and Sienna Francis.
1. Gray. Staring down at Callie entwined in the arms of Tanner and Lachlan did nothing to calm the raging alpha inside of me. She'd been hurt, and there'd been nothing I could do to prevent it. Again. Stone had gone too far this time. Surely this wasn't something the council could sweep under the rug, if they were even aware it was happening in the first place. Lachlan was right, though. Stone couldn't pull off something as big as this by himself. The funds alone to set up that lab should have been more than he had access to, not to mention the people. Someone had to have snatched those shifters from their packs. Was that something Stone could coordinate alone? I doubted it. I'd thought I knew the man, and we'd already seen just how despicable he was. But seeing that place, seeing those people who'd been kept in cages, the tubes housing his less fortunate victims, just how deep did his depravity run? But more importantly, what the hell was he up to? You need to sleep, River's tired voice mumbled in the darkness behind me. River, Maverick, and I had been camped out on the floor. None of us had wanted to leave Callie so soon after what we'd seen, and there wasn't a bed big enough in the house for all of us to pile into. So we'd dragged a couple of mattresses with some blankets and pillows, attempting to sleep on the floor. Maverick had been asleep in seconds, and I suspected River wasn't far behind him. It just seemed to be me who was stuck staring at the ceiling, even though exhaustion weighed me down. Now I had resorted to prowling around the room in the darkness, my agitation making it impossible to rest. I can't sleep. My wolf is still spiraling, I told him. I might go for a run, try and appease him by scouting the pack borders.
Do you want me to come with you?
River asked, his voice breaking into a yawn. No, it's okay. Sleep, River. I know you're as tired as I should be right now. Anyway, Davian and his clan are out keeping an eye on things, so I'll have plenty of backup in the unlikely event I need it. River mumbled something about being careful, but then his soft snores filled the room. It had been a grueling past 24 hours, and I should have been exhausted, but I knew my wolf needed to make sure everyone was safe, and there'd be no sleeping for me until I'd checked the borders and appeased his worry. Quietly pulling on some clothes, I slipped out of the room and headed down the darkened corridor. We'd never had this many people in the pack house before, and as the alpha, it was my job to make sure they were all safe, which probably contributed to why my wolf was restless. Before heading downstairs, I cracked open the kids' door and peered inside to make sure they were asleep. Little eyes peering back at me in the darkness were a surefire indication they weren't. "Can't sleep?" I asked, moving into the room and dropping to my knees at the side of the bed.
"Kai had a bad dream," Kobe told me quietly. "He misses his mummy,"
Jacob said, sniffling as he did. These four kids had all lost their parents and somehow found their way here to each other. Abby, Kobe, and Jacob knew exactly how Kai was feeling right now, and I was sure his pain was probably reminding them of their own. Abby and Kai slept soundly on the bed, clinging to each other. Even though the two of them were snoring softly, I could see the faint trails on Abby's cheeks from where her tears had fallen. As I watched, Kai whimpered softly, and she snuggled closer to him, making him cling to her with that fierce desperation children had when they were sad. "How about we do something fun tomorrow?" I suggested to the two boys who were awake.
"Can we make cookies?"
Jacob gasped. "Well, I mean, yeah, but you might have to do that with Callie. How about we do something that doesn't involve putting something in your belly?" I suggested instead, giving him a poke in the stomach that made Jacob snort out a laugh.
"Maybe we could go shopping for Kai's bedroom," Kobe suggested.
Even in the room's dim light, I could see the shine of excitement in his eyes. Internally, I cursed myself for not having this conversation with the kids earlier. Of course, they'd automatically assumed Kai coming here meant he was joining our family. "Kai might not want to stay with us, bud. He might want to go and live with another family in the underground," I told them softly. I didn't want to make life any harder by separating them, but this had to be Kai's decision. He might be young, but he was old enough to have a say in this. Besides, it would probably be safer for him to be as far away from us as he could get.
He has to stay,
Kobe whispered, gripping the shirt of the sleeping boy a little tighter. A flow of calming alpha energy seeped out of me and started to fill the room. It was an unconscious gesture now. A few months ago, the realization would have filled me with panic at thinking I was losing control, but now it was the most natural feeling I'd ever had. This was what I was meant to be, a true alpha. I could feel it deep in my soul that whatever changes were taking place had always been there, waiting for the right time. As Kobe's shoulders drooped, I felt my wolf's anxiety ease along with the little boy's panic. He can make that decision for himself tomorrow, and if he decides he wants to stay for a little bit, that's all right too. Kobe nodded sadly, but seemed to accept what I said, so I was happy to leave it there for the night. You guys snuggle down and try and get some more sleep, okay? It's still nighttime. Both boys relaxed back on the bed again. I could tell from their breathing that it wouldn't be long until they were asleep, so I quietly left the room, content to leave them to it for now. We'd have to look at the bedroom situation tomorrow. We couldn't carry on like this. Not to mention that Callie still didn't have a room to call her own. It had worked for us up until now because she seemed to go to whoever needed her. But it shouldn't all be about our needs, and she needed a space to call her own. Even the library had been taken over by everyone else at this point. If these shifters agreed to stay with the pack, Nash would need to follow up with the timber suppliers for the cabin kits we'd ordered. If we could move up the time frame of their delivery, it would ease at least some of the pressure. We also needed to get the top floor of the house finished. It would give Callie the space she needed and be somewhere we could all be together. But the reality was both construction projects were far more than we could handle, at least not in the time scale we needed. Tan was right that it would solve a bunch of our problems if the shifters agreed to stay, but we didn't have the means to give these people a comfortable home they deserved, at least not yet. Then there was the problem of whether we could in good conscience expect these people to fight. Hadn't they been through enough already? With my mind lost in plans of how we could house everyone comfortably, I crept down the stairs. It was one of those situations where I tried to make as little noise as possible, but the impossibly quiet house seemed to amplify every creak of the floorboards into a sonic boom. The last thing our newest collection of housemates needed was to wake up to a shadowy figure creeping around in the night. I could feel my wolf growing agitated again as my mind started to spiral around the nightmares of what Stone had been doing to them. So I quickly made my way outside before my alpha powers started to leak out. The sound of a hushed voice talking quickly on the porch had me stopping in my tracks as I closed the door behind me. Wasn't anyone in this house asleep? Peering around the corner along the wraparound porch, I found Blake sitting in a chair as he put his phone back in his pocket. His eyes flared wide in surprise as he caught sight of me. Everything okay?
Yeah, just catching up with Jean. Feeling a bit out of sorts with everything that happened and wanted to talk to my little man.
You do realize he's literally days old, I laughed, slightly confused.
He knows his daddy's voice, Blake said smugly,
leaning back in his chair and crossing his arms with a smirk on his face. It spoke to something inside of me, and it must have been written all over my face.
Oh, Alpha, you're thinking about babies, aren't you? He joked.
I shrugged, trying to play it off casually, even though my wolf was practically banging my mind in agreement. Dropping down into the seat next to him, I cast an assessing gaze over Blake. Today, or rather yesterday by now, was hard. No one would blame you if you wanted to meet up with Jean and Tucker in the underground, Blake. You don't have to stay here with us. You don't owe us anything. Blake turned away from me to look out into the trees, but I caught the gleam of tears in his eyes before he did.
I miss them. A lot. But I need to see this through. I have to make sure they're safe. I need to know that we did something. That Stone isn't going to walk away from this like all those people didn't matter.
I completely agreed with him, but for some reason the fact that Blake felt so strongly about this surprised me.
I can't tell you what's going to happen, Blake, but I can promise you this. That man doesn't get to walk away from this. Even if I have to go to every single pack and tell them what we saw, everyone is going to know.
That's not enough, Blake burst out. He's fucking evil, Gray. He needs to be stopped.
I know. But we can't exactly walk up to a council member and kill him, no matter how much we might want to.
It would be certain death for the entire pack when the Council retaliated, so we need to do this right. We need proof, and we need to make sure whatever moves we make, we have the support of our people when it finally comes to light.
You've been thinking about it, then?
He almost seemed to deflate as he spoke. Like the fight he'd geared himself up for had bled out of him when he realized I wasn't planning on letting Stone breathe for a second longer than necessary.
Yeah, of course. You didn't see it all, Blake. You didn't see the worst of it. I don't know how we're going to get this done.
I was just a small-town mechanic, and then our whole world imploded in a matter of days. Fuck, I'm just making all this up as I go along and failing at it.
The pressure of what needed to be done was overwhelming. I could feel my wolf starting to spiral again as I finally admitted what I'd been thinking for weeks. I wasn't trained to do anything like this. We didn't have the resources, and we didn't have the necessary knowledge. A few lessons on fighting from an ex-council guard wasn't enough. We needed an army, not a collection of broken and traumatized shifters with a score to settle.
We'll find a way, I decided aloud, feeling a sense of certainty settle in around me.
We have to.
These people were counting on me, and I wouldn't let them down. Blick didn't say anything. He was still staring off into the trees, his mind no doubt filled with thoughts of his family.
I'm going to run the borders. You're welcome to join me if you need to, I told Blake in concern.
Tomorrow I'd have to find a way to reunite him with Jean. His wolf must be losing it, being so far away from his newborn cub.
I think I'm going to head to bed. Try and get a few hours sleep, Blake murmured, still not seeming entirely with me. I'm bunking in River's room if you need me for anything.
I'd forgotten that we'd given his cabin over to the vampires. Fuck. The housing situation really was fast becoming a problem.
I'll be fine. Get some rest, Blake. We'll get everything sorted in the morning.
I clasped his shoulder as I stood and went to leave.
Part of me wanted to wait and make sure he went to bed, but I'd be coming back this way at some point, and I'd check on him then.
Blake had gone above and beyond for the pack over the last few days, and it had to be costing him dearly. Quickly shifting, I trotted down the front steps of the house and raised my nose in the air, inhaling all the scents of the pack lands deeply. I caught the faint scent of Davian's clan out in the woods and the shifters in the house behind me. But apart from that, there was nothing out of place. Taking off at a slow lope, I headed into the trees. I'd already decided to head for the border closest to the pack house and then travel the perimeter until I looped back around. It wasn't too far, and my wolf could travel it in a few hours, assuming we didn't run into any problems. The soft ground of the forest flew past quickly beneath my paws as I wound my way around the trees, following the border where Callie's wards lay. There was something comforting in following the wards. I suppose it came from the brush of Callie's magic against my fur, even though she wasn't here with me. Except that wasn't entirely true. I could feel her with me even when she wasn't physically present. The bond between us had grown so strong, it felt like an almost physical presence, and at the end of it, always within reach, was Callie. It was hard to remember what life had been like before she'd come here. The life we had now was perfect, even with the lingering threat on the horizon. It was having Callie with us that made it perfect. I could see it in the others as well. I could see the way River was finally allowing himself to believe he was enough. How the darkness in Tanner's eyes he tried so desperately to hide receded in the light she shone. Maverick was learning how to trust, and even Lachlan, who'd only been with us for a short amount of time, was starting to grow in confidence. Callie shone that light of hers on every dark corner of our minds, showing us that what we perceived as flaws were nothing in the bright light of day. She proved we were not only enough, but that we meant everything to her. Callie's love for all of us blazed through our bond, burrowing into our core, and it was changing us. The pack bond was changing in ways we'd never even known possible. But it was also changing the pack itself. Lachlan and Cassia, pure blood witches, had shifted. It made sense now how Hunter's wolf had been able to recognize his mate in her. But how had he known it was even possible? Was there a primal part in all of us that the wolf could see, or was there something else going on here? everything we'd ever been told was either a lie or a distortion of the truth. I had a feeling we were closing in on finding out something that was going to rock our society to the very foundations. The question was, though, would it rock us hard enough to unseat the council, or were we going to have to physically remove them? Because if there was one thing I knew for sure, even if Stone was acting alone, the rest of the council were still guilty of crimes against our people, and it needed to be stopped. The snap of a tree branch pulled me from my thoughts, and I started to pay closer attention to my surroundings. When my eyes landed on Davian standing in my path, the broken branch in his hands, I nearly rolled my eyes at his antics. I shifted back to my human form, still running the last few steps, and stopped in front of him.
I thought some advanced warning would be a good idea. I didn't fancy meeting the pointy end of your wolf in some kind of mistaken identity scenario.
Davian laughed, throwing the broken pieces over his shoulders.
Besides, I like this suit, he told me,
brushing what I could only imagine was imaginary dirt from his perfectly pressed suit.
I don't think it's my pointy end we should be worrying about, I deadpanned. By Alpha, are you flirting with me?
Davian laughed, purposefully mistaking my meaning.
And here I was thinking you were happy with your beautiful mate.
A soft growl flowed through my lips, but a chuckle soon followed. The vampire was slightly amusing, I suppose. How is the clan? I asked, opting for a safer subject instead.
Fine. A little blood and mayhem every so often does them good, Davian told me as he turned and started to walk along the ward with me.
I didn't doubt that Davian was fully aware of what I was doing, and the fact he was content to accompany me on my task spoke of the person he was. At a different time, he and I could have been friends. Fuck, I think we might already be friends even after everything that had happened. However, I could also recognize he was the pack's strongest ally. He had the knowledge and experience we needed to get through this.
This might seem like an insurmountable task, but I have every faith in you, you know, Davian murmured after we'd been walking in silence for a while.
I hope so, I mumbled. It would have been easy to keep walking in silence, and Davian would have probably let me if I'd wanted. But I decided to take this opportunity he was giving me.
We're going to need help. Contacts. Fuck, I don't even know what else. Are you asking me for assistance?
Davian asked, still looking ahead, strolling along like we were discussing something entirely different, and not the start of what would definitely be a war.
Making a stand against the Shifter Council could make life exceedingly difficult for me with the other clan heads.
Is that a problem? I asked with a grin, because by now I was reasonably sure I knew the type of person Davian was. He finally turned and looked at me with a broad grin on his face.
Of course not. As I said, a little blood and mayhem does you the world of good.
2. Tanner.
I'd slipped out of bed to use the bathroom and returned to see my younger brother had stolen my spot beside our mate. Even though I desperately wanted to kick him out to curl up to Cali again, I also knew there was a room full of pups who'd want breakfast soon. Not to mention a house full of traumatized shifters. Of course, it helped that being the one to bring Cali a cup of tea in the morning would win me massive amounts of brownie points. Fucking hell. That still threw me through a loop. My brother.
It wasn't something I thought I'd ever say in the literal sense, but as he clung to Cali in his sleep, his soft brown hair mussed on the pillow, I felt a fierce need to protect him. He looked so vulnerable when he was asleep. I'd only just found him, and I'd nearly lost him once. I wouldn't risk him again. I would be the brother he needed me to be. Pulling on some clothes, I slipped out of the room and made my way to the kitchen. The sun was starting to rise, meaning it was still pretty early. The pack house was blissfully quiet, but it wouldn't stay that way, not with so many people here. I was surprised to find I wasn't the first one to make it down to the kitchen. Even more so when it was Nash who was standing at the counter making a list. It made a bit more sense when Holly appeared out of the pantry, though. Hey, she whispered quietly, nodding over to the table where Gray was sitting, face down, fast asleep at the table. We thought we'd run out to Walmart and grab a load of essentials for people, trying to make the morning a bit easier. Not to mention we don't have enough food to feed all of them.
Fuck, we hadn't thought of that.
This one was up moving around and keeping me awake, so I decided to put him to work. Holly supplied happily, making Nash look down at his list guiltily. As was my nature, I had a joke at the tip of my tongue about Nash bugging his mate in the morning, but it stalled at the awkward downcast look on his face. It wasn't like Nash to act like this. He was usually the laid-back one of us, too concerned with the logistics of running the pack to care about much else. Yesterday had been so out of the norm for all of us, it was bound to affect us differently. "Let's see what you've got so far," I said instead, pulling the paper to me, mostly just to try and get Nash to talk to me because he was acting so weird. "I'll pull the truck around while you finish here," Nash hastily said instead, quickly kissing Holly on the cheek and then disappearing out the door. Holly and I both watched him go, and when I turned back to her, she had a frown on her face. "Is he okay?" "Yesterday was difficult for everyone." Holly stared at the door he'd just left through, her concern written all over her face.
"I don't know," she finally said. "He's been acting weird ever since I woke up. I don't think he even slept."
Sliding the list back across the counter, I tried to reassure her.
"We'll keep an eye on him. It's going to be okay, Halls."
Even though I had no idea if it would be. From the look she gave me, Holly wasn't entirely convinced either.
"I should go and catch up with Nash before he decides to go and do something stupid. We probably won't be back for a few hours. There are protein bars and some other stuff in the pantry if they start to wake up before we get back. You know, you're going to have to feed the kids before then, right?"
"I know how to look after the pups," I scoffed. From the look Holly gave me, she wasn't convinced, but she at least didn't voice her doubts before she left. Suddenly, I found myself practically alone in the kitchen. Even though it was what I'd intended, I still found myself feeling bereft. Gray was softly snoring at the table, so at least we hadn't woken him. But it also meant I couldn't bug him about the growing list in my mind of everything that needed to be done. There was so much happening in the pack right now, and it was my job to make sure everyone was working through it. I wouldn't exactly say I was failing at that right now, because I could recognize it was an impossible task, but there had to be something I could do. The pack house was blissfully quiet, with everyone else asleep, but it wasn't going to last long. Once the rescued shifters started to wake up, we'd need to be prepared to make sure they were settled and reassured. Then, they needed to decide what they wanted to do. If that meant staying with us, so many plans needed to be made. My eyes moved to where Gray was slumped at the kitchen table. After only an hour or so of tossing and turning, he'd left the bedroom. As much as I wanted to go through our next steps with him, he needed some sleep, and I didn't have the heart to wake him. The same went for Callie. She was still healing, and we needed her back on her feet as quickly as possible. I hated it, but she was the biggest gun we had right now, and we couldn't afford for her to be out of the fight. It was going to be hard enough convincing her to take it easy. Waking her up early wasn't going to help the situation, even if I was doing it to give her the one thing that seemed to set her world right. Tea. Quickly checking in on the rest of the people in the house, I stuck my head through the door for the dining room and then the lounge. Most of the shifters were laid out on the floor or huddled together in small groups. One group in particular seemed to be concerned with one guy. But from the looks of distrust I got from them, I knew my intrusion wouldn't be welcome. Even so, if he was hurt and needed attention, leaving it for later could cause a greater problem. I was just about to step further into the room when one of the group looked up and locked eyes with me. It was the first time any of them had been able to meet my eye. He wasn't very strong, but I could feel the glimmer of an alpha in him. It called out to my beta nature, but it was more of a whisper, whereas Gray was a storm of power. He took a moment, seemingly weighing me up, and then shook his head. It was clearly a dismissal, and even though I was happy to leave them alone, I was slightly insulted at the move as well. I knew I shouldn't be. These guys had been through a lot, and it was understandable that they'd be distrustful. Instead of letting my hurt feelings push me to do something stupid, I nodded in acknowledgement and slowly backed out of the room. I had to trust that they'd seek out the help they needed if things were bad enough. Looking around myself, at a loss now for what to do, I decided to retreat to the one other place in the house that settled my nerves, the library. Callie spent so much time in there now that her scent lingered on almost every inch of the room. It calmed my wolf just being in there. So I quickly made a cup of coffee in the kitchen before slipping down the corridor, heading to what I was hoping was the one remaining refuge in the house. Unfortunately, I was wrong. Even before I opened the library door, I realized it was occupied. Reaching for the handle, I suddenly realized that what this room held was beyond precious to Callie, but also vitally important to the pack. Having people we didn't know at the pack house and leaving this door unlocked had been foolish. Creeping inside, I was relieved to find it was only Aiden stretched out on one of the couches and no one else. As I closed the door behind me, he cracked open one eye and peered across the room at me. "Does anyone sleep in this place? I'd have thought everyone would be exhausted after yesterday," I grumbled, partly because I'd hoped to have some time to myself before the pups woke up. "I've wanted to make sure Callie's books were safe, so I camped out in here until we could get a read on the new people." Aiden sat up and stretched his arms above his head as he let out an enormous yawn. "You concerned about the witches we brought back?" I had no idea where the idea came from, perhaps because the shifters wouldn't know what to do with most of the books here. "Nah, they've been huddled in the alcove under the stairs since they got here. You must have walked past them before coming down here." "I was too lost in thoughts of coffee," I admitted, saluting him with my mug. "They're not having problems with the shifters, are they?" "Some sideways looks we'll probably need to keep an eye on, but nothing so far." Aiden frowned as he spoke, and I could practically see the gears turning in his mind. He'd never once looked at Callie and the others differently for being a witch. It genuinely never seems to bother him. "You think they might be a problem for Callie?" he asked. It was nice to see Aiden taking on the brother role so easily. It could have become an awkward situation between them, especially putting Jacob in the mix. If anything, they'd all been overjoyed by their bond. Callie needed to feel those bonds around her. She'd lost so much before she came here that she deserved to find something for a change. "Did you manage to get any sleep at all?" I asked, changing the subject, even though I could see the answer written in the dark circles under his eyes. "On and off. But every time I fell asleep, I kept seeing that place." His voice sounded haunted, and it made me want to reach out for him. There would be so many people in the house feeling this way right now. Aiden pushed himself up to sit with his elbows braced on his knees as he stared down at the ground as he spoke. He was clearly uncomfortable talking about this, but the fact that he was pushing against those feelings to talk to me meant something. "Do you think we did the right thing?" he asked quietly. "Part of me thinks we should have called in the human police. All those people, Tanner. Even if they knew of our world, the women had to be humans. So many families must be sitting at home right now wondering if their loved ones will walk through the door ever again. We took away their peace of knowing what happened to the people they loved by destroying that place." None of us had thought of that. At the time, all we were consumed by was the need to give those people the final rest they deserved. To pull down Stone's Chamber of Macabre and put an end to the ghoulish display. We may have our issues with the Council right now, but bringing in the humans would have far-reaching effects for our whole society. It would change people's lives, and there'd be no going back. We don't know how the humans would react to the knowledge of our existence, but we have a fairly good idea. I'm tired of living with the current target on my back. I don't need to add another one in its place. Aiden nodded thoughtfully, but I could tell he wasn't convinced. "What do you think the Council will do now?" he asked. "I suppose it depends on how many of them are involved in this. All we can do is help these people, and then sit back and wait. Prepare for the worst, and hope for the best." I shrugged as I answered. This wasn't really a shrugging situation, but what could we do? Stone was going to be beyond pissed. He wouldn't have proof it had been us, but he'd no doubt suspect. Although, if he came here and found the people we'd freed, that would be all the proof he'd need. We needed information. We needed to know how he'd managed to take all of these people and why no one was asking questions about where they'd gone. The only way to get that was to ask the traumatized people we were currently sheltering to tell us their stories. With a sigh, I turned to leave the library. As much as I might want to hide out in here, there was too much happening for me to bury my head in the sand right now. "Where are you going?" Aiden asked in a small voice that pulled at my heartstrings. I paused at the doorway and looked back at him, nodding my head toward the stairs. "Come on. We need to intercept the pups and get some food in them before they wake Callie. If there was one thing in this house that could soothe our wounded souls, it was spending time with the pup.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?